Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Second Corinthians chapter 12. For the next 2 weeks, this is going to be what I call a platform of where I want to preach from until Mother's Day. So I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing his second letter to this church at Corinth. This church is a gifted church, but it's a divided church. Because if you read the first book, they are so gifted and so divided that they start to argue over which preacher they followed. I follow Apollos and Cephas and Paul. And Paul gets to the point where he said, wait a minute, I didn't baptize any of y'all except for three people he named, two people he named, and then a household of faith. So in the first book or letter, he is correcting this church. They have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They have excellence, but they fail to love. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he deals with the gifts. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, I'm just giving you a quick overview, he deals with this idea of love. And he calls them to repent. And then in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he goes back to say, listen, of all the gifts that you should value is a gift that we can all understand that can edify the body through the preaching of the word. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, quick review. 2 Corinthians, he writes again to the same church. And this church has started repenting. And they're starting to get it right in this idea of unity and love. But he has to write them again to defend his apostleship. He has to defend who he is. He has to deal with the resurrection. And then he has to just bear his soul. So I really want you to read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it may leave me. Don't miss what Paul is doing. Paul is praying that through God's permissive will, God permitted this, there is a thorn placed in the flesh. Now, God allowed it, but it's a messenger of Satan, but God is using it to keep Paul humbled. And he says, verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. How many people you know boast about their weaknesses? Most people want to hide them. They don't even want you to know they have weaknesses. But Paul says, I'm boasting in them. Why? Verse 10, therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. I'm weak, but then I'm strong. One simple thought. Thank you for my thorn. You got to make it personal this morning. We don't like the ministry of a thorn, but it's important. And the reason I'm preaching it this morning is that on Monday, after I left my mom at the hospital, I had a meeting in Sugar Land, so I get on the Beltway, and I'm driving all the way down the Beltway, and a couple of thoughts came to my mind. But one thought came to my mind, Corey, was, God, how long are we going to keep dealing with this? And I don't know if you've been there. You start bargaining with God. God, if you do this, I will do this. We start making deals with God, and you can't make deals with God. He's not the one you deal with, make deals. So I'm saying, God, listen, either you heal my mama or take her home. I'm good either way. But can we do something about this? We were just at this hospital 6 months ago. And we were just at the same hospital a year ago. And then we were in Humble Hospital a year and a half ago. And it's not like God didn't know this, but I'm reminding him. And then we were at ALBJ 2 years ago when my mother had colon cancer. And then God, when we were in middle school, my mother had ovarian cancer. And then God, I'm looking at all this and I'm watching my mom deteriorate. Can you make up your mind? So here's what God did. Eric, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and let me show you something. You can pray. And if I don't decide to remove this thorn, and if I tell you no, my grace is sufficient. And next week, I want to deal with that ministry of grace because we just overlooked that because we want everything to happen overnight. And there are times when God says, I'm just going to give you grace. I'm going to give you an extra amount of strength to deal with no. So this morning, you may be asking God for something and God is saying, no, deal with it. But while you're dealing with it, I'm giving it to you to keep you humble. Leave you exalt yourself beyond measure. And while I'm keeping you humble, I'm still giving you enough strength through this word called grace so that you can deal with what I'm giving you. So there was a young pastor who asked this older missionary, man, how are you so successful in ministry? What is it that you're doing that you're drawing all these people? You're traveling all over the world and people's lives are being changed. What is the secret to your ministry? The older gentleman looked at the young man and he said, I'm great at displaying my cracks. Can I say that again? He said, it's not that I preach great sermons. It's not that I pray powerful prayers, but I'm vulnerable enough to show people my cracks. And when they see that I am not invincible and that I have cracks, it puts me in a pew with the people. And now they come a little closer and now they know I'm not beyond what they go through. And now the Holy Spirit can really preach the message. Can I say this to you this morning? Paul is displaying his cracks in chapter 12 of Corinthians. He's bearing his soul. He's letting you know that he's not always had it together emotionally. He's letting us know that he deals with issues and insults and persecution, and he doesn't always get it right, that he has cracks. So he allows us to see his weakness. Him being broken and bruised and used and afflicted and perplexed and knocked down, but he isn't knocked out. And that's an encouragement for you this morning. People will talk about you. Sometimes you just have to get over yourself because you're not knocked out. Sometimes people will say hard things to you, not to destroy you, but to help you. But if your ego get in the way, you can't see what they're really saying to help you because you take it personally. I've been there, but I've grown long enough that when I'm meeting with my supervisor and he gives me some hard coaching, I never take it personal. You know why? Because he's only trying to help me. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves and get out the way and show our cracks. Paul is showing his cracks. He exposes the truth of life. He's defending his integrity. He's defending his apostleship. And he has the right at a vulnerable time in his life to give us the details of his suffering, the details of his persecution for the sake of Christ. He talks about the ministry of the thorns. That's not what we're going to deal with this morning. So go in reverse, go back to chapter 1. And here's one of the issues he deals with, this word called suffering. That suffering at times is a thorn. But we got to the point in church where we never talk about that. We talk about fulfilling your dreams. We talk about reaching your goals. We talk about growing your business. We talk about all the plans God has for you, but we never talk about this idea of suffering. Because the Old Testament prophets suffered. The New Testament apostles suffered. Jesus suffered. We have an example of that. One day we will experience some suffering, but what is the purpose of suffering? So I want to deal with that in chapter 1, and I'm done. There are many reasons why we suffer. But in chapter 1, Paul gives us 3, maybe 4 reasons why we suffer. And I want to look at that this morning. Verse 1, Paul, he's the writer, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he's just giving a basic salutation, who he is, his call. He's with Timothy. He's writing to the church at Corinth with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of comfort. Stop right there. Whenever you experience suffering, you have a God who wants to comfort you. So even when you go through suffering, there's somebody right by your side, but more important than that, there's somebody in you. Verse 4. So God comforts you, who comforts all in our afflictions, so that, circle the word that. Here's what Paul is about to do. He's about to give you a few reasons why we suffer. Here's the first one. It's in the text. We will be able to comfort those who are in affliction. The first reason why you suffer is so that you may comfort others. Paul is simple. It's right there. He says, listen, you go through suffering because sooner or later, your suffering is not a dead-end street. That somebody will come your way that experience what you experienced, and now you can comfort them because you went through it. That's why we suffer at times, so that we can have this ministry of comfort to other people. So in other words, when you're suffering and you're going through hardship, it has redeeming value. It's about you, but it's not about you. It's about other folks. So on Thursday, I'm sitting down with a coach through FCA, and we're having lunch at Jason's Deli. And Miss Rios, we're just talking, and he said, man, how is mom? I said, mom is fair. He said, okay, we're going to pray for mom. He said, let me tell you why I wanted to meet with you. He said, when my wife was dying, you was there. And he said, man, you comforted me. And you didn't always talk. There was times we didn't say nothing. And that was the ministry of comfort. He said, you didn't come at me with a bunch of scriptures. Because I didn't need to hear that. I knew the scriptures. You didn't come talking about God's going to do this. He said, man, you knew how to handle me. And he said, there was times when I wanted to give up, but you comforted me. He said, and I don't let men in a lot, but I let you in for a reason. You were at the hospital when the blood was coming out my wife's nose and out my ears and out of her ears and out of her eyes. You saw everything. And one of the reasons I did not give up was because you were there. And I want to be there for you. You know what that's called? He suffered. That as I'm going through now, he could comfort me. We go through suffering so that we can comfort other people. So when we lose a child, you may have the ministry to minister to someone that lost a child. When you go through a bad divorce, when your kids walk out on you, sooner or later, through God's sovereignty, he will use that again, and you will know how to speak wisdom, and you will know how to speak into them, and you will know when to talk and when to be quiet. We got to be good at both, when to talk and sometimes just be quiet, because that goes a long way. So he says, man, I'm here for you. So we have to understand, man, God gives us suffering, this thorn, to humble us, to give us grace, to give us strength, that we may minister to other people who go through suffering. But watch this. Look down at verse 8. Paul says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, our afflictions, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despised even life. Paul is being very transparent here. So in my Bible, I underline a few words. Burden, excessively, beyond our strength, so we despaired our own life. Have you been there? That you suffered so hard that you wanted to give up on your own life. I used to wonder what would make somebody commit suicide. But then when I started talking to people who thought about committing suicide, I got a better glimpse. And I understood a little better that the hardship and the burden was so heavy that they wanted to end it all. And I didn't stand in judgment, but I tried to relate and understand. God is telling us, don't judge people so quickly that you miss the ministry of comfort. It could be this morning that some of you are in your situation right now, because God is not saying, I'm going to change it right now. I want you to access more grace. So can I say this for a little minute? This week, you need to be asking God for more grace. God, I'm struggling. I need grace. God, I'm tired. I need grace. God, I really want to give up. I need grace. I think it was about a year ago, I remember my dad saying, man, it's just hard. I'm ready to give up. No, no, Dad, we ain't giving up on nada. Nothing. We going to hang in this thing, and we going to see it to the end. That's the ministry of comfort. Don't turn people loose too quick. Comfort them. Walk with them. Why? Here are these words. Burden. Make sure that's on the screen, Minister Holmes. The word burden means to be weighed down, to lay heavy a burden upon you. But he didn't stop there. He said excessively, to the extreme. Have you ever been burdened so excessively that you couldn't even sleep? That your sleep left you? That appetite left you? And you know you were so burdened for that child that you told that child what to do, but that child wouldn't listen. And you walk in the floor at night, mama, and you praying for that child, mama, while daddy is going to sleep, mama. And all you have to worry about is that child. God is saying sometimes the burden gets that heavy that we need somebody to get up under us to help us carry that heavy load. So Paul says the burden was excessively. But then he says it was beyond my strength, that the burden got so heavy, my strength ran out. Yeah. Have you been there? That there's nothing you can do about it because the heaviness of the burden. And then he uses this word despair, to be at complete loss, that you don't even know what to do, that you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling because you had a complete loss. Paul says, this was me. That I was ready to give up on my own life. But here's the second reason why we're suffering. Verse 9. And indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. The second reason why God allows us to suffer at times is suffering teaches us to trust in God, not in ourselves. We get good at trusting in ourselves. Especially when we get about 3 degrees. We think we know it all. We get a great job. We feel like we can network. We feel like we can make it happen. And God is saying, nope, I'm going to back you up a little bit. I need to cut you down a little bit. I need to humble you. Your head done got so big, you can't even walk through the door. So I'm going to humble you. I'm going to place a thorn in you. I'm not going to remove that thorn. You're going to have to pray for greater grace, greater strength, that you can trust in me and not in yourself. So who am I talking to this morning? You're trusting in yourself. You think you can do it. And God is saying, you can do it. To show you, I'm going to let it be so heavy, it's beyond your strength. That's why you suffer. But what I love about God is, he is saying, even though it's beyond your strength, if you trust me, I'll work it out. So this morning, I'm trying to encourage somebody. You're suffering. Trust God. Let him work it out. And if God can't work it out, it will never be worked out. But when God work it out, you can bank on it. It's fixed. It's done. You can wrap a bow on it because God has worked it out. So suffering and the trial of life are tools that God uses to mature us and give us greater capacity to encourage other people. So I had a friend tell me this this week. He said, hey, pastor, let me talk to you. He said, people are watching you. I said, yeah, I know. He said, no, you're not listening to me. People watching you. I said, yeah, man, I know. He said, you're not listening. Because sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. He said, people are watching you. Yeah, you got big shoulders. Yeah, you got your hands on a lot of things. But the same things that you have your hands on, people are involved, and they're watching how you handle it. People are watching you this morning. How are you handling your suffering? How are you handling this thorn? But here's the third reason why we suffer. Verse 10. So God has the power to raise the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. Paul is emphatic. He said, will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope. Where's your hope this morning? Where have you set your hope on this morning? He will yet deliver us. And here we go. Verse 11. You also joining and helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. The third reason why you suffer this morning is that we learn how to give thanks in everything. It's right there. Paul says that thanks may be given by many. When we suffer, we don't suffer complaining. We learn how to give thanks in everything. So you know what I did the other day? My dad had left. It was just me and my mom in the room. And she was, oh, God. And this is what I'm telling you guys. It could get so heavy. She's in the room saying, God, why? And I have to listen to that. So you know what I did? I said, God, thank you. Yes. It's hard for my mama, but thank you. And then they was putting this medicine in her eyes. And they're squeezing it in there. And after 10 minutes, her eyes just closes. So I went to the sink. And I just got a towel. And I just cleaned my mother's eyes. God, thank you. God, thank you. Her hands are swollen. I just massage them. God, thank you. Her feet are so sensitive, you can't even touch them. I just say, God, thank you. The nurses come in, Ms. Rios. God, thank you. The doctors come in and they run right back out. God, thank you. When they had to change my mother because she couldn't control her bowel movement, God, thank you. When they asked me, can you help me clean your mother? Yes, this ain't the first time I've cleaned my mother. Roll her over and let's get to cleaning. God, thank you. Here's the reason why I was thanking God. He has put that thorn in me. He's given me grace and he's given me strength, but he's given me more time with my mama. So every time I think about it, God, thank you. Somebody, mama's not here, but thank you. Yeah, my mama's struggling, but thank you. Yeah, her kidney's not right, but thank you. You got to get good at thanking God in the midst of suffering. When he says, I'm not removing a thorn. But here's the combination to that. It's right there. The first sentence, verse 11. You also joining and helping us through your prayers. So not only do we give thanks, We learn how to serve people by praying for them. And this is why I'm trying to get this church. You do not have to be embarrassed about what you're going through. We cannot pray for you if we don't know. We can't help you through the ministry of prayer if you don't fill out a prayer request card, because sometimes we think we can do it alone. God didn't make the body of Christ for you to stand on an island by yourself. The body of Christ is called the body of Christ because it is the body of Christ. My hands don't fight with each other. My feet don't fight with each other. My feet don't fight with my heart. My heart don't fight with my mouth. It all works together, a unified body. And God is calling the church to work together as a unified body. And if we don't, we can't pray for one another. It's your prayers. So you thank God for the lessons he's teaching you. You thank God for everything he's allowing you to go through. But Paul had this idea. He says it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. He just said it again, that we are to give thanks in every single thing. When I lose a job, God, thank you, because maybe you know something I didn't know. When the business deal doesn't work out, God, thank you. You see something that I did not see. God, I wanted this marriage to work out. You hate divorce, but it didn't work out. But you may have something better down the line for me. Thank God for everything. You rejoice. But then you pray. So watch this. Here's where I want to close. Even though Paul wrote this letter, he couldn't help himself. And he addresses them again on this idea of forgiveness. And I don't know who you are. I got to say this morning. This church was divided. They had a problem loving each other. And Paul says, I want you to be unified. And the way to be unified is to extend forgiveness.
Yes. Amen.
Some of us are right here. We hadn't even forgiven our family members. They hurt your feelings. Okay. They dropped you. Okay. They turned you loose. Okay. They walked out on you. Okay. They don't live like you want them to live. Okay. God is not saying I need you to be their head coach. He said I need you to be their teammate.
Yes.
And one of the ways you become a great teammate is by extending forgiveness. If you're in here this morning, you got to forgive. You never forget, but you forgive. So I'm going to bow my soul, my crack. This has been hard for me and my dad. Not saying my wife hadn't been involved, but I'm very close to my dad. I spent a lot of time with him. And we've had some father-sons discussions. You see how he's laughing? And some of them have been heated. And some of them have been mild-mannered. And some of them I had to say, Dad, I'm not 10, I'm 46. And when you said it to your dad, you know, when he look over those glasses, you know he means business. But at the same time, I'm saying, Dad, we grown men. We're going to respect each other. Men understanding what I'm talking about right now. So my dad and I was talking about something. And I said, Dad, that's forgiven. It's done. You know why? We're together in the ministry of suffering.
Yes.
And we can't have nothing to divide us
because
we need each other. Some of y'all have family members you're still arguing with and you won't even forgive them. You won't let it go. I'm not saying what they did is right. But what I'm saying is, let it go. Forgive them. And when you do that, you can be a comfort. Because it may be that very person that God will bring right by your way, that now you have to serve him. But if you hadn't forgiven him, it's going to always be there. So we're all family this morning, every last one of us. And you can see I love praying. Don't worry about that. It's done. We're all family. I believe all you guys are saved. Talk with you. You've been baptized. I don't need to extend that. You're part and connected to this church. But what I really want to do, and I just sensed this when I got up, is just close in prayer. That's it. Because we need to pray for each other. And I'm going to ask, if you're willing, I'm not manipulating you. You don't have to give all the details. You can stay right where you are. If you just have a prayer request, you can slip your hand up and say your prayer request quickly. You don't have to tell all your business. You can simply say, pray for this. And this is how I know God is leading me to close, because I'm the first. I need prayer. I have a lot on me. And I want to do the right things, and I want to say the right things. Monday, I came home, and I've been working all day. Started at 6, doctor appointments, waited till my dad arrived, went to Sugar Land, had a bunch of meetings, drove back. So I get home, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Talking about forgiveness. So I get home. It's 8 o'clock. And I walked in, there's dishes in the sink. So I was raised, never keep that Kiki laughing. Don't have no dishes in the sink. I always need to be clean. I'm still messed up. Blame them, not me. So I said, Aaron's been here the whole day. Why nobody wash the dishes? Aaron, come here. Can you wash the dishes? Yes, sir. No, now. Not tomorrow. Now. So she washed dishes. I start cooking. Cheryl comes in. And I just wanted some bacon and eggs. She grabs a piece of the bacon, and I got upset. I'm going to tell you why. Let's see how she's looking at me. I said, babe, I've been working all day. Man, you know I've been with my mother. This is cracks in ministry. And I said, man, something should have been cooked. Well, I just thought you were going to cook or get you something to eat. That's what she said. Get you something to eat. I said, why not call me? Why not ask me? Right? And I got in my feelings. See? But I'm real with myself. That's one thing about you can see about Pastor. What you see is what you get. I'm not hiding anything. Because when you leave, either you love it or you don't. That's who I am. I got in my feelings and I didn't yell. I just, man, I feel like y'all take me for granted. I do this. And I do that, and I do this. And when I die, y'all gonna miss me because I'm doing all this stuff. Men, sometimes we feel like that. I said, man, I'm doing all this. Just call me. Took it personal. You know why? Suffering. The weight. So I had to ask for forgiveness. Don't allow the weight to allow you to treat people because of the weight. It's just a weight. You ask God for grace and strength, and He'll help you deal with the weight.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.